This is the world broadcast of Imam Waruf Deen Muhammad Speaks, the program that's dedicated to human development and community consciousness. And now, Imam Waruf Deen Muhammad.
Is greatest. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم الصراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين.
Greet our honorable radio audience today with the greetings of all the prophets from Abraham to Muhammad, the greetings of peace and the Quran in Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum.
So God says, and be aware, stay on guard, keep your defenses up, be cautious. Don't be silly in this crazy, wild, dangerous world that have become worse than a jungle, worse than the land of pure savages, much worse. Because a savage is not as sophisticated as Satan. The average person can handle the savage, but the average person can't handle Satan. He's too wise. All of us, whenever we start feeling bad feelings toward each other, we should question the influence of Satan. When we get up in the morning and wake up with a bad attitude, we should question the influence of Satan. The children, when you feel like you don't want to obey your parents or you don't want to obey your teacher, you should question the influence of Satan. Because Satan has the power to suggest to your mind, to suggest to your mind without you hearing or knowing what he's suggesting. And he's doing that all the time. So be careful. Be careful. We can't do this by ourselves. The grown-ups by themselves cannot do it. We cannot take charge of the children. The children are going to have to be taught and educated too, so they can see what we see and then join us in fighting this thing. That's the only way. And those children that just won't respect us, they should be rejected. Yes. After we have worked with them hard and had patience with them to show them the right way, and they still choose the world over us, we should reject them. And just keep them until they're grown, and then put them out of our home. Send them away. Because if they stay in our home, they're going to be a bad influence. We'll be keeping the environment. We'll be letting Satan breed in our home the environment he got out here. Get them out. Get grown, say go. That's the sense our parents had in the South. Our parents in the South, if a child went worldly crazy, lost his mind and went to the world and wouldn't respect them anymore, sometimes they wouldn't wait till he got 18 or 21. He had to go. I don't care how old he was. If he was too big to get a whipping, he had to go. But now Satan, he makes it awfully difficult for parents to supervise the life of their children. If you whip one, they can go to the court and charge you with child abuse. And you don't have to be a child abuser. You did nothing but gave him what he had coming. And didn't do anything. You might have left his skin a little red. Or maybe whipped. But now you're a child abuser. They'll put that child on TV. And magnify the little whip you put on his back. They'll make it 50 times the size it was with the TV camera. I'm not saying that there is not a serious case of child abuse in this society. This society abuses everything. But what I'm saying is that the scales are tipped in favor of the devil and the criminal against the good people. That's what we're saying. Terrible situation. Terrible situation. We have to pull together. We have to study the Quran, read it daily. Every school child should be reading the Quran daily. You can read English, read the Quran daily. If you got hours for homework or 2 hours for homework or 3 hours for homework, you should have at least 15 minutes to read Quran. Read the Quran daily. It's in English. Now, the blessing of Allah, it has been translated, and we have good English translation, and they're available to us in America. We should read it. Parents read it. Children read it. Read the Quran. Read it daily. We have good books of good books on the life of Prophet Muhammad. They are here in the library, they're here in the schools, they're here in the community. We got even children hadith. And we know how to get them if we don't have them. You know where to go to get them. So there's no excuse. Let us learn about the life that we profess so we can live that life. That's the only way to survive in this day and time. Allah Most High says in the Quran, highly glorified is He, هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمه الكتاب ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين وآخرين منهم لما يلحقوا بهم وهو العزيز الحكيم. Allah Most High says that He, that is God, is the one who sent from amongst the unlettered a messenger from among themselves, reciting to them His signs and purifying them and teaching them the book and the wisdom. Prophet Muhammad, peace and the blessings be upon him, is the promised liberator that we find mentioned, as Allah says in His Quran, in both the Torah and in the Gospel. You will find this reference to Prophet Muhammad as that promised liberator in the 7th surah of the Quran and the 167th ayah, verse. And here God has mentioned Prophet Muhammad and his status or his circumstances as one who was from among the uneducated people. He was not learned. He was not a student of any tutor or any institution. He was one from among the unlearned people. And God says that he raised from among the unlearned people one like themselves in their circumstance, like themselves in their situation. They were dominated by a situation, ruled by a situation that didn't allow enlightenment for them, didn't allow high standards of civilization for them. The age, as you know in history, is called the age of Jahiliyyah in Arabic, meaning the age of ignorance, and the English, our Western people, call that age the Dark Age. And it was in such time and in such age of ignorance and oppression on this earth that Allah chose Prophet Muhammad because of his excellence, his moral excellence, his excellence as a person, his excellence as a family, as a father, his excellence as a husband, his excellence as a trustworthy citizen that people could trust with their belongings, as they would trust the best bank. And we know that this was Prophet Muhammad El Amin, called by the Muslims and in the Quran, El Amin, the one worthy of trust, the trusted one. And Allah says of him that his circumstances was that of the people that he was missioned to rise up from or among. His circumstances were the same as theirs, that is, he was not a man with book knowledge. He was not a man educated. But God chose him. Allah Most High chose him and made him not only a liberator for the few oppressed members of the world that were living in that peninsula we call now Arabia, but he raised him up and made him a messenger and a liberator to all human beings on this earth. Allah Most High says in the Quran that he is a mercy to all the worlds. Prophet Muhammad is a mercy to all the worlds. Again, addressing that need and that expected liberator that is mentioned in the Torah and in the Gospel. Allah Most High says, وَإِن كَانُوا مِن قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. And though you were before this in manifest error, though they were before this in manifest error, وَآخَرِينَ مِنْهُمْ لَمَّا يَلْحَقُوا بِهِمْ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. And there are others to follow them in time that have not yet come into the religion. This is referring to the ignorant masses that would be in the future, that the message had not yet reached. And we find that these ignorant masses are still on earth and still oppressed by similar conditions that we see in the life of Jahiliyyah Arabia and in what we call the Dark Age. So, dear beloved Muslims, we who come from our situation in America, deprived, discriminated against, isolated, denied equal admission into the wealth of this country, we should understand that we are of the same circumstances. We are not a people that are by description educated. We are by description a people culturally deprived, unestablished, etc. While we do have exceptional individuals among us with higher knowledge, their numbers are so unimportant that it leaves the state of the African American people in that state we call Jahiliyyah. Again, Allah Most High says in Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا
إذا نودي للصلاة من يوم الجمعة فسعوا إلى ذكر الله وذروا البيع. Allah Most High says, oh, you who believe. When the call to Jummah prayer is made, rush to the remembrance of Allah. Rush to the remembrance of Allah. And leave off business and trade. And leave off business and trade. This particular verse of Surah Al-Jum'ah, it addressed many problems in human society. However, it is just one we want to mention now for the sake of time. And that is the priority. The most important thing here is to understand the priority. God, remembering God, being religious, remembering God, is more important than business establishment. We know for the sake of community life and health and prosperity, we have to be involved in business life, in business. We are to always remember that Allah is before every other concern. Whether it's business concern, political concern, social concern, family concern, I don't care what it is. The common believer understands, whether he's in Judaism, Christianity, Islam, or some other religion, he understands that God is more important than any other concern. And when we forget that, it's because the people who are responsible for keeping the right sensitivities in society have failed their responsibility. And then we have to struggle like the Dickens to bring knowledge that really is common sense back to the people. Allah says when the call to Jummah is prayer is made, rush. Exert yourself. Put forth strong effort to come to the remembrance of God. The very word that is used tells us that business is really a powerful attraction, especially for hungry people. It's a powerful attraction. You have to resist that with strong, strong determination. Here's an opportunity to make another $1,000. In the hour or two that I'm going to spend going to my congregational service. Now, will I stay here and get this $1,000 or $2, or will I give up this opportunity and put Allah first? Allah says, put Him first. He says, when the call is made, don't consider any other concern, but hasten to the call to the remembrance of God and leave off business and trade. ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. That is most beneficial to you. That is the best for you. That's what he said. That is the best for you. That is the right thing to do. That is the most useful avenue. If you تَعْلَمُونَ, if you are knowledgeable. Now, we know we're not knowledgeable because we are members of the Sufaha. We are members of the underprivileged, culturally deprived, ignorant masses. They're not a fact. So we know we're not knowledgeable. Even our leaders are not knowledgeable. Our leaders are PhDs. They're not knowledgeable. If they were knowledgeable in this particular area, then our state would be different because they would be leading us out of this situation. Well, Allah knows all. And Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, he was made knowledgeable. He was made knowledgeable. And he didn't leave his people in that situation. He gave them the light that God gave him that was intended for them in that situation. And they rose up from the position of dependents, beggars, moral corrupt people, hoodlums, mobsters, turf commanders, etc.
They were lifted up above that. So if our leaders are really knowledgeable, we would see that kind of uplift in our community. So obviously they are not knowledgeable. Obviously they are not knowledgeable. You don't have to believe in God with your whole heart. You don't have to be an angel. You don't have to even be a moral man to make material progress. So if the African American is not making material progress, it's because he's still ignorant. Praise be to Allah. Prophet Muhammad is a teacher. وَهُوَ الَّذِي بَعْتَ فِي الْأُمَّيِّينَ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ, reciting to them God's signs, وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, and purifying them. Here is the solution. Here is the solution. Don't recite or rehearse or show off what you know, because you don't know much. Recite what God has revealed. Recite for us what God has revealed. And if you recite what God has revealed, as the prophet recited what God charged him with to the people, then we will see these steps in a growth process take place. Number one, you zekki him. Purify them. If people are down, it's because of moral ignorance. Because moral responsibility ushers people into every other responsibility. But if we don't have moral responsibility, then we will neglect responsibility to care for our parents who are old and need our assistance, or for our children that need education, food, clothing, shelter. We will ignore and neglect all of these responsibilities if we don't have moral strength. It takes moral strength to be concerned about helping somebody else other than yourself. And as long as you care nothing about anything except yourself, you won't have progress in society. So the first step in that growth progress is to recognize God's knowledge as superior to all other knowledge. And then to take up that knowledge and begin working on the moral needs in our community. And bring about a situation of moral responsibility. Use the pure teachings of God to purify our spirit, our motives, our attitudes, etc., our actions. Clean up, and use the cleaning agents that Allah gives us in Quran and in the life of Prophet Muhammad for this cleaning program, our cleaning project. Cleaning up, we have to start cleaning up. And then don't stop at just cleaning, but also educate. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ, and he teaches them the book. وَالْحِكْمَةَ, and the rules of judgment. The rules of judgment. Because if people are dumb as to how to think and how to make decisions, they'll never be a strong people. When a situation comes up that requires judgment, situations require decision and judgment. Sometimes you can't make a decision before you make a judgment. Now, we don't make decisions and we don't make judgment. Most of us just react. And nothing signals our action except the way we feel. So if we feel angry, anger dominates that reaction. If we feel sorry, pity decides the reaction. If we feel silly, foolishness decides the reaction. So we are people who are dominated by feelings. And our reaction, the way we react to something, depends on the way we feel at the time. We are not a people who put knowledge before feeling. We are not a people who put rules that have supported society and life and accounted for the security of civilization. We don't put such rules before our feelings. We're not even interested to know such rules, to acquire such knowledge of such rules that have accounted for the protection and the security of human society. So how can we progress with this kind of ignorance in our community? And no responsible leaders to show us the problem and direct us to the better course. How can we progress? We cannot. The only way we can progress is to hold on to that is stronger than us. Now, speaking for a Muslim community, the thing that is stronger than us is the Quran and what God says. The thing that is stronger than us is Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his life and his excellence. So the answer for us is to put the Quran above our feelings. Put the Prophet Muhammad's example above our feelings. And then not be satisfied to just respect Quran and the Prophet, but have someone among us, if we're too lazy, we must insist the lazy ones must demand of those that are not lazy that they study the book so that they will be able to carry us into this process of community purification, education, into the knowledge of the book and the rules of judgment. Praise be to Allah. Isn't that a simple solution? Can all of us support that? No matter how little the education is we got. I think if we never went to school, if we still have our senses, if we're not chronically or clinically insane, I think all of us can support that. With no problem. I think that is light for even the super high. Praise be to Allah. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
You've been listening to Imam Waruf Deen Muhammad. Copies of Imam Muhammad's broadcast are available through the Clara Muhammad Memorial Educational Foundation. For more information, consult the Muslim Journal newspaper. Tune in next week at the same time and station for the world broadcast of Imam Waruf Deen Muhammad Speaks. Thank you for listening.
I have taken no witness that there is nothing but God.
This is the world broadcast of Imam Waruf Deen Muhammad Speaks, the program that's dedicated to human development and community consciousness. And now, Imam Waris Deen Muhammad.
Is greatest.
الموتى بل لله الأمر جميعا. Allah Most High says in the Quran of the Quran, if there was a Quran, a revelation that is, that could move mountains or could cause the earth to split and be parted or could cause the dead to speak, this would be the Quran, this would be the revelation. For with Allah is the power for all things. Praise be to Allah. Now, dear beloved Muslims, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was asked in the words of the Quran, and also we have in the Sunnah of the Prophet, where they ask him for miracles. They say, if you be a prophet, where is your miracle? Give us a miracle. And some of the people of the book, that is the Jews, the Christians, they said, we will never believe in you until you show us a miracle. Show us the miracle, like the miracles of the old, the stories that we have heard of prophets of old. And the prophet, on one occasion, he replied to them. He said, the Quran is my miracle. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And we know that miracle still stands. But where are the miracles that the people of old claimed? We can't find them. But this miracle still stands, and it is as miraculous today as it was when it first came to Prophet Muhammad, upon him be peace. So we don't look for things to excite us as children. We want something to appeal to our intellect and to our better emotions, to our better emotions. And that's what we will stand upon. So the Quran is the miracle of Prophet Muhammad. And another place in the Quran, Allah says, had this Quran descended upon a mountain, the mountain would have humbled itself and just fell down as sand. Just melt down as sand. There is a report in the history of the early Muslims of Omar, the great caliph, of how this Quran affected his heart. We have heard of Omar's temper. He was a man who could really be riled up, and he could become dangerous, very dangerous, when riled up. And there was an occasion where Omar, may God be pleased with him, was made angry. He was angered, learning that his daughter, Safiya, and her husband Zayd, may God be pleased with them, had converted to Al-Islam. So he came in anger to find if this was really true. And one report says that he questioned them, and they both pretended that they were ignorant of what he was inquiring about. He was saying that he had heard them reciting, because as he approached up, he could hear them reciting some verses, something from a book. So he said, I've heard you reciting. What is that you were reciting? He had already been told that they were converted. He said, what was that you were reciting? So they pretended to be ignorant of it. So the husband was approached by Omar, and the daughter, the wife, Omar's sister, she got afraid for her husband, and she stepped in between them. And Omar struck her, and the report says that he bled. He must have hit her pretty good. He was bleeding, and one report says that At that time, most reports say that at that time, they got fed up with him, and they told him, yes, we have, we are Muslims. Yes, we accepted the religion. Yes, we are Muslims. One report says that he asked, say, read me what you were reading. He felt sorry after hurting the girl and behaving as he did. It says that he said, read to me some of what you were reading. And another report says that he said, give me the what you were reading. Where is that what you were reading? And he took it and read it himself. Whether he read it himself or required of them to read it or not, he did hear the words of the Quran at that time, on that occasion. And tears came to his eyes. Tears came to his eyes, and he felt very bad for what he had done. And he went straight from that house to the place in Safa, where Prophet Muhammad was meeting with some of his companions, And he asked permission to come in to their group. And permission was given to him. And he approached Prophet Muhammad, and in front of Prophet Muhammad, he declared himself to be a Muslim. He took the Shahada in front of Prophet Muhammad. So this is history. This is not storytelling. This is history. This has been documented by the historians of just what took place. This is history. How a great, strong, and brave Meccan, who was very upset when he heard that the Meccans, some of the Meccan Muslims, were going to Abyssinia, Africa, which is very near over there. If you could look at the map, you see it's just a stone's throw from Arabia, that they were going to Abyssinia to make their home there. He was so proud as a Meccan that infuriated him, and he wanted to go do something about that. They were going to Meccans. Meccans going to live in another country. And though Abyssinia had more to offer in terms of fertility, Abyssinia was fertile land, whereas Arabia is not fertile land. And they had more prosperity in Abyssinia than there was in Arabia. So Abyssinia was a more advanced land and a richer land. But still, the Arabs, the Meccans, the Arabs were so proud. You know, they didn't like that their citizen would take up citizenship in another land. And Omar was one of the people who expressed strong objection to that. This same Omar now, with all of his great strength, this is the Omar who, before becoming a Muslim, he would drink, he would do violent things under hot temper. And when he became a Muslim, he showed, Allah brought out the other side of Omar, that he was really a statesman. He was really a very intelligent man, a virtuous man, a statesman. He stopped drinking. He never drank again. In fact, he whipped his own son in the public for drinking liquor after he became a convert to the religion. The same Allah. So this shows you the power of the Quran. This is a miracle. When something can touch a human life, can touch human sentiments and feelings, and make them a completely new and different person for the better, that's the proof of miracle. That's the best miracle. You know, we may say, oh, I would like to see God make the sun go out at 12 o'clock. That would prove to me that he's God. So we know the sun is supposed to be on. It's not supposed to be out at 12 o'clock. Now, if he can make it go out at 12 o'clock, then we'll believe. But if that would happen right now, I say, okay, I'm going to ask God to do that. If that would happen right now, nobody here would believe, except those who already believe. That's what Allah says, right? In the Quran. Right. The rest of them would say, oh, it was an eclipse. The Imam knew about it before. And you'd be right. There would be an eclipse if the sun went out right now. We believe in miracles. We believe in many miracles. In fact, many miracles took place in the life of Prophet Muhammad. Many miracles. So we believe in these miracles the way that Bilal came to be a muezzin for the Prophet. It's mysterious. It's a kind of a mysterious thing that took place that brought him to be the muezzin for the Muslims. You see, the first muezzin. So we believe in miracles. We know they're miracles. But we are not a people of superstition. And that's discouraged. The prophet discouraged it, and all of us who represent the prophet as teachers and the imams, we have to discourage superstition. We trust what is useful to human life, what is practical and beneficial, and what is useful to human life. And faith and belief in God and taqwa, God consciousness, fearing God, we know that that's the foundation for a Muslim society or for any religious society. If they don't have that faith in God that goes beyond their rational and material control and satisfy a spiritual dimension that the material dimension just can't satisfy completely. We know we need that. We know that's important as a foundation for the religious people. But we can't carry that too far. We can't carry that too far and then feed that side to the detriment of the rational side. That side is hungry. It hungers too for attention. You know, and when you bring in a lot of spooky stuff and all that, it feeds that side. But now, if what you bring in is detrimental, is harmful to the rational side of life, then it's condemned in Al-Islam. The Muslim must respect the rational side of life also. We must keep the healthy balance between the two. And this Quran is the book that does that. It feeds the spiritual side of man as much as he can take. Right. None of us can go away from the Quran and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad saying we still thirst. Right. No. It feeds us as much as we can take. Yes. And for the rational side, it gives us too as much as we can take. Right. It gives us the balance. And whatever it gives us on the spiritual side, that respects also the rational needs. And whatever it gives us on the rational side, that respects also the foundations of faith. The perfect religion. Praise be to Allah. Now let us look at another occasion for power as a demonstration of the power of the message of Al-Islam, the Quran. Ja'far, he was a man known not to be educated, and he was with the party that left persecution in Arabia and went to Abyssinia, what's now called Ethiopia. I think the boundaries of Abyssinia were bigger than the boundaries of present-day Ethiopia, perhaps much greater. But anyway, they went to that land seeking what? Political asylum. They were seeking security from their oppressors, their own countrymen who were oppressing them, the Arabians, the Meccans. So they went to the land of our forefathers and there appealed to one of our ancestors who was the ruler at that time. An Abyssinian. And we know that Ja'far ibn Abu Talib, from the report, did a wonderful job, did a highly commendable job as an uneducated person given to a king. He was an uneducated common person. He's telling the king what the situation was in Arabia and what brought about their conversion and exactly what the Prophet Muhammad is, what his mission is, what he represents. He was giving this to the king. Should tell you something else about them. No one says, hey, you're not educated, you're not, we are more important than you. Let us speak for the group. Let one of us speak for the group. Not you. Why should you, Ja'far? You have no education, you common person. You're least one among us. They didn't say that. They knew that Ja'far had a knowledge and understanding of the religion. They knew that Ja'far had embraced the religion. And though maybe he didn't have as much intellectual insight as they had, they felt that his heart and his faith and his courage to stand before the king indicated to them that he's the one that Allah wants to speak for. So no one interfered with his speech while he was talking to the king, the ruler of Abyssinia. And he went on to tell the ruler of Abyssinia of the condition that they were in and that the Arabians were still in under the old ways. He told him many things. To make it short, he said, "We were eating dead meat, carrion. Silent animal dead. Still not smelling anything. They're hungry, they need it." Now, understand that this ruler was a Christian. And they had been practicing Christianity since the earliest days of Christian faith. So they had Christian customs, Christian morals, and these things that were told to them were very distasteful, were offensive to them, that people would be doing such things, eating carrion, eating the flesh of a dead animal that died, you see, an animal that died. And said, Jaffa told him, he said, that we were, that he said, the strong among us was oppressing the weak among us. And we were mistreating our women, and et cetera, and et cetera. The king listened to Jaffa telling him of the conditions in Arabia. And then Jaffa said to the king, he said, "And this man, Muhammad, peace be on the Prophet, so he came and he taught us against that kind of behavior. He converted us from that to honesty, to kind treatment, to justice." And he went on to recite, to report to the ruler the achievements under the leadership of Prophet Muhammad. The leader was so impressed. He said, "How can I extradite? How can I send these people back to a situation like that?" And it is said that the Jaffar, the king, pardon me, the ruler, he wanted to know from Jaffar. He said, "Well, what does this religion say about our religion, about my religion?" So Jaffar recited from the Quran what the religion says about Jesus the Prophet, peace be on him. And the king was so impressed. So he didn't leave it. But they weren't satisfied. The ones who were trying to get the Meccans, who were awfully upset that the king was giving them protection, he wanted to get them back in Arabia where they could do him in. So he said, "They have read to you only one side from what the Quran says about Jesus, about your religion. They asked them to read from the other side of what it says." And then Jaffer also, he was the one again called upon. He answered the call, pardon me. He told the king what they were referring to, the other side. Praise be to Allah. In the words of Allah in the Quran, إنما المسيح وعيسى بن مريم رسول الله وكلمته ألقاها إلى مريم وروح منه فآمنوا بالله ورسله. And when the king heard this, he was touched. He took his cane, the report says, and he made a mark, a line, on the floor. He says the difference between their religion and ours is the line on the floor. What he was saying is there's a distinction, but it's not a big problem. Yes, and we know that later is reported in the history of al-Islam that this ruler professed the religion. He himself became a convert to al-Islam. Praise be to Allah. And if you would like to know what the situation is now in Ethiopia, that land that used to be called Abyssinia, for our religion, there are more Muslims there than non-Muslims. Yes. So today is witness. Today is the witness. What has happened to Abyssinia? The majority of the people in Abyssinia, in Ethiopia, they are Muslims. And they are divided because they're socialist influence in one part, and in the other part there's not. So there's a division there, but it's not an Islamic division. It's not an Islamic division. They are Muslim. The great majority of Ethiopians are Muslim. And you know Ethiopia is the oldest Christian country perhaps on this earth? And just think, today it is majority Muslim. Praise be to Allah. You can check this out in Encyclopedia Britannica and Muslim Gazette. Check it out anywhere you want to. Have to help you out because you don't know anything. I'm talking to the 15%. That defiant group that's just got to protest everything. They know nothing but disagreeing. That's why they have nothing. They don't agree with anything, so Allah won't give them anything. So what you got, Chief? I got the Quran in my heart, the Prophet Muhammad in my heart, and respecting the world for having that. I think that's a whole lot. Uneducated was serving as a spokesman for the group who fled persecution and were appealing to the king in Abyssinia for refuge. This person quoted these words from the Quran. The king wasn't dumb in the religion. They wouldn't have a dumb king in Christianity ruling over a Christian country. He had to be wise in the religion. And if he listened to the words of the Quran, and his heart was touched, and he saw no real conflict, then that should tell you that really those who really know Christianity, they shouldn't see any real theological conflict. They are misinterpreting their own book. And when the right interpretation was given, the learned understood it. Now let's see what it says. We have to talk about Jesus because some of our people, they had nothing but Jesus. So surely Christ Jesus, Son of Mary, messenger of God, is the messenger of God and a word from him. Sent to Mary, and a spirit from him. Therefore believe in God and his messenger. And the king listened to that, and he was a Christian. And he didn't take the side of those Meccans who were trying to say, they say your Christ is not a God. They say your Christ is only a prophet, only a messenger. And he read it to them. The word of God says he's a messenger. That Christ Jesus is a messenger of God. And a word from him. And a spirit from him. Yes. So that should tell us that the word and the spirit go together, don't they? The word must have itself a spirit. Sent to Mary. And from the verses from the Quran where it says of Mary, and the Mary was innocent. Jafar read that to the king too, you see. Where Allah says in the Quran that Mary is innocent of the charges that they had made against her. And he knew, the king knew the charges that they had made against her and where it came from. Didn't come from the Muslims. No. So we should understand that. Now, when the king heard these wonderful words, he was so impressed, and he was never the same thereafter. Eventually, he became a Muslim. And we know that in the time of Prophet Muhammad himself led funeral prayers for the deceased king. When this king died, Prophet Muhammad recognized him and led funeral prayers there in Arabia, giving recognition to that great man of Abyssinia. Now, I have read that not to put in, give any special attention to Africa or to Abyssinia, but as descendants from that land, we should cherish that piece of history. But I have said that to show how there is living, documented evidence of the power of the Quran to do miraculous things in the human life. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
You've been listening to Imam Waris Deen Muhammad. Copies of Imam Muhammad's broadcast are available through the Clara Muhammad Memorial Educational Foundation. For more information, consult the Muslim Journal newspaper. Tune in next week at the same time and station for the rare broadcast of Imam Waris Deen Muhammad Speaks. Thank you for listening.
That there is nothing.